Well, now let's move on to listening, learning how to listen. Benefits of being a skilled listener is this is an incredible skill, worth way more than just about anything you could learn. This would make you money. This would make you friends. This would cure relationships right on down the line. I would say this is more important than getting $100,000 in the bank. If you could learn just how to get your ears open and listen. Proverbs 18:2, fools have no understanding or interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Proverbs 18:13, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Oh, I wish I would listen to that. All the stupid things I've said. Oh. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought to be wise if he just keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 20 verse 5, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding knows how to draw that out. Or James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Jesus actually used 200 questions in the Gospels. Was this because he was so ignorant? He didn't know what he was doing? Of course not. He was like a good counselor. I know the answer. The question is, are you coming to terms with the answer? Jesus was doing this all the time. And in all sorts of different situations, which really shows you this is a biblical principle. It wasn't just in certain accounts. It was all over the place. This is a form of love, to listen. To listen is to love. How many people in our culture would just kill for someone to listen to them? So too, we gain understanding with other people. We get to see, you know, almost like when, you know, mom or dad made the turkey for Thanksgiving. On the outside, it could look, you know, nice and brown. And, you know, all of us were thinking, man, I want to dive in, get some of that, you know, turkey. But on the inside, it could be completely raw. And so what do you need? You need the meat thermometer to see if it's up to temperature. And so listening is like the meat thermometer of the heart. It's like you're ramming that meat thermometer right into their chest. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. You're trying to figure out their hopes, their desires, their misconceptions, ways that God is already moving. You're learning all this, and it's free. It's easy. They're just going to tell you, rather than have to wonder and come up with this all on your own. Listening also takes the pressure off of us. I mean, how hard is it just to sit there and listen? Surprisingly hard. But how much pressure is there? Not that much. To be able to sit there and ask good questions and to be engaged and to listen to other people. This can be very powerful. So too, there's a certain level of reciprocity. It's reciprocal. When we hear other people, we get a hearing. When someone speaks at us for an hour and we listen and we really try and actively listen to what they're saying, all of a sudden they want to hear what we have to say. And so it builds trust. This is a form of love. I hope you can see that. Methods of active listening. I'll give you a few. I'll give you five. Observing questions. This is where you're just sharing what you're noticing. So maybe, you know, you notice something like this. There's a person in your life and you've invited them out to one of your Bible studies and they just keep giving excuses. I'm busy that night. I got to work in the morning. My one buddy, he went over to the guy's house and he just said, you know, I keep inviting you out to our central teaching and I think you'd enjoy it. But I keep asking over and over, and honestly, I'm just like, I'm concerned that I'm pestering you, and I don't want to do that. So I was just wondering, like, am I pestering you? Am I bothering you with this? The guy said, actually, no, you're not. We actually have been busy, and we can come out. We'll come out this week. He ended up coming out that week. Him and his wife came to know the Lord. What did he do? He just shared his observations. I'm noticing this. I've been sharing a lot, and I notice you've been busy, and I don't want to be a pest. So is that what's happening? If it is, just let me know. Or the person stops talking and looks away every time you engage in a spiritual conversation. Hey, you know, I notice, like, whenever we talk about spiritual things, I just get the sense that, I don't know if this is true, but I get the sense that you might be feeling uncomfortable. Am I reading that right? Is that right? I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. and you just let them interpret what you've been seeing. Or the person makes sarcastic comments about your involvement with Christ. How about this? Next time you're on the job and somebody's always, you know, teasing you, making fun of you or whatever, you pull them aside alone. You don't want to humiliate the person. And you say something like this, you know, so-and-so, it's like, I feel like every time I bring up my, you know, relationship with God, which is, you know, really important to me, I feel like you're teasing me and you're sarcastic about it. And, you know, I've got a sense of humor and, I like you. I think you're funny, but, I'm just kind of like, I've been picking up on something there and I'm just kind of wondering what those comments are for. Isn't that better than just trying to fight back and just keep getting aggravated? And isn't that better just to put it in their court and try and figure out? Don't you think you'd have a good chance that person would open up? Clarifying questions is where you're trying to clarify what they said. So let's say somebody says something like this. You know, I don't believe that we need God to explain the origin of the universe and the Big Bang. Huh, okay, why not? I think the universe came from a singularity. What word would I want to look at there to clarify? Singularity. What is a singular? What do you mean by a singularity? Huh, what is a singularity? I might even play dumb. Say, huh, what is a singularity? And then they would explain it, and I would say, wait a minute, I thought a singularity was a description of natural law, not an explanation of natural law. But that's for next week. We'll talk about that next week. Right here, we're just asking questions and being a good listener. Number two. The Bible can't be without errors because it was written by humans and all humans make errors. So just to be clear, like you don't think the Bible could be written by human beings because humans make errors. Is that what you're saying? Like you're just clarifying their point. Number three, I think that Jesus was trained in India in Eastern thinking. That's why he believed in reincarnation. You're clarifying. So you think that Jesus traveled to India and then he learned under kind of a pantheistic idea, and then he came back, and he also believed in reincarnation. Is that what you're saying? You're just clarifying. That's all you're doing. Echoing questions are where you repeat back what you're hearing. And this can be patronizing. However, I would say just try it. Just try and repeat exactly what they said. So if they said, I can't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. If you were to be a real caveman about it, you could just simply say this. So you're saying that you just can't believe that God, if he was loving, he would ever send somebody to hell. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah. And I know for you, you're thinking, that's so stupid. You just repeated back what they said. They feel heard. They feel listened to. They feel understood. Number two, I've met so many Christians who are homophobic and bigoted. Let's get a little bit nuanced here. So echoing back, repeating it. So you've had experiences with Christians who were homophobic. They were bigots. Was it people in your life? Was it you? Was it, you know, tell me more about that. You're just trying to ask for more. Instead of being contentious, you're like, okay, you just hit me on the one cheek and I'm saying, hit me again. Give me more. My mom forced me to go to church when I was a kid. I think it's child abuse to force your kid beliefs on your kids. So when you were a kid, is this difficult? When you were a kid, your mom used to force you to go to church and you just felt like that was child abuse for you? Yeah. You wouldn't believe the way that the guard comes down when people just feel heard. Because what are they expecting? They're expecting you to fight back and attack them and attack their experience. Wondering questions. This is a way of openly exploring what someone is thinking by sharing your curiosity out loud. You know, I didn't like what that girl said in the teaching about forgiveness tonight. You know, she made it seem so easy when it's not. Huh. You know, you said it's not easy to forgive. That got me wondering, you know, is there something in your life that has been hard to forgive? All of a sudden, I'm not defending the girl in my Bible study or what she said. I'm trying to get at the heart of the person. What's been hard for you to forgive? Christians are so political. Huh. Wondering question. Yeah. So, yeah, you say Christians are very political. I guess, one thing I was wondering when you shared that was, have you had experience with a lot of Christians that have been very like over the top political, and what was that experience like? Good, bad, ugly? Like, tell me more. I don't like the way that people treat me around here. No, people treat you just fine. Everyone loves you around here. You know, you're selfish. wait a minute. Let's hear more. I want to hear more. Man, I'm wondering, when you said that, you don't like the way people treat you around here, echoing question. It made me wonder, like, tell me more about that. Like, in what ways? Like, did people say something? Did they do something? Was it something you picked up on that you didn't feel comfortable with? Or number five, reminding questions. This is a way that you can actually reopen a conversation from earlier. I used to work at a job where we'd be sitting there and you'd be getting into a spiritual conversation when there was nothing to do. Like, I don't believe in talking about your faith when you're supposed to be working. I'm pretty old school on that. By that, I mean biblical. I don't think you should be, you know, you're getting paid to be doing work and you're sitting around talking about Christ with everybody. When there's no work to be done and we're sitting around, everyone's talking about sports or TV or something. Yeah, I don't mind talking then. But somebody would say something like this, you know, do you think anybody can really know if God is real? I was like, this is my moment. This is my thing. This is my study. I love this. Yeah. And just when I would go to speak, the phone would ring. You know, I worked at a hotel and I used to park cars. So they'd be like, hi, this is Satan in room 402 and I need my car. You know, so I would run down there and run back, and all of a sudden we'd have to, you know, get car after car. Oh, I blew it. Or somebody would say, you know, I don't think I will ever be able to forgive myself for doing that. And all of a sudden you get interrupted. Or they change the subject. Or number three, you know, there's got to be more in life than just working this stupid job. There is. And you get interrupted. What's your move? A week, 2 weeks later, in a very natural, relational way, you remind them with a question. Here's how. You say, hey, so-and-so, you know, I was thinking about you. I couldn't get you off my mind the last couple weeks. When you shared, you know, do you think that God is real? I couldn't stop thinking about that. Could you share more about that? Or there's got to be more in life than working this job. You know, I just wanted to hear more. It sounded like you had more to say. Instead of thinking to yourself, oh, I blew that conversation. I screwed up. I'll never... Just go back and remind them and just say, hey, where are you at with that? It doesn't matter if it was 3 years ago. You could have had a loved one made a comment and you could just say, you know, what you said has been haunting me since you shared that. And I wanted to hear more. Would you share more? Okay. This isn't an interrogation. I've met some Christians like this where it's very, question after question after question after question after question. I'm kind of feeling like, you know, if I was meeting a bunch of new people and they're just asking me 20 questions, I would feel very uncomfortable. So the way I would think about it is like this. You're kind of passing the ball over to them and they're answering. And then you're saying, yeah, I could see that in my own life in these ways. You know, what do you think about this, though? And then you're passing it back over to them and it's back and forth. My point is this. You don't want it to be an interrogation. You want it to be a give and take. This is a conversation, a dialogue, a log between, dia meaning between, logos, a word. And we're trying to have a conversation where we're growing together, and it actually isn't even healthy for that other person just to be sitting there yapping away for an hour straight. So that would be listening.